I'd like to call this committee of the whole meeting for the purpose of getting an update from Mr. Shaw and Mr. Aller about the bridge deck project across on Monroe Street across US 23 that's scheduled out for another couple of years. You will all recall that a few years ago, we had some initial renderings and some various options and alternatives that were under discussion. We've had some contracts that the city council approved with various entities, and just as a general laying of the ground, and I'm going from my memory, Mr. Aller, so correct me if I'm wrong, general cost of the project somewhere in the order of $29 million, at least that was the last expected number. Mr. Aller and Mr. Shaw were successful in securing about 90% of that funding for that project from state and federal grant dollars through TMACOG and various other entities, and we appreciate all those efforts. But still, we're on the hook for $29 million, even 10 points is a lot of money, $2.9 million. So this is kind of an update as to where we stand and give us the opportunity to bounce off of that information and give our thoughts and ask some additional questions as we move through the process. So, Mr. Aller?
One of the things we've done, it had been quite a while, I think I was taking a look at the drawings, it was like 2018, time flies, but we had brought some concepts to you on, what the fencing could be along the bridge, and some signs that maybe could be a possibility, and that kind of stuff. Since we've done that, the council entered into a couple of agreements. One, obviously, the transportation improvement project, and we have some concepts on what that's going to be looking like. And then also, we have the downtown vision plan that we're working on with Edge. And we got to talking to them and said, okay, we got this downtown vision. It's going, basically, we were taking a look at coming right up to the interstate or something on what that vintage is going to be. And we said, why don't we, what do we need to make sure we do or don't do with the interstate project and kind of blend that into everything. So what you have before you is kind of what Ed, some suggestions that Ed just made. And if you look on that first sheet and start at the bottom, that's kind of the overall layout. This is where, on the right side here, this is where the new ramp, off-ramp is going to be on the northbound side. Then Alexis Road will come down right in the same place. And then as you head west, you go over the bridge and then continue west, and that takes you into town, go to the Peru Road, and then into town. What they've done is kind of take a look and say, okay, here's where you come off here, and if you think we're existing nexus, you kind of come off and you're there. There's really nothing. We've got a wayfinding sign. We've got Scenic Park. It's kind of just an open grassy area. And it's like, okay, you're at Sylvania. This is Sylvania. What he's trying to do is to get everything that's going to be happening in the downtown area. Get started here with some greens, some walls.
I don't know what to
do. Do we have hearing?
We have someone who needs hearing aids. I haven't heard of Ed having access.
Yeah, I can. I will find out for you.
I don't know. We're checking.
Okay, cool.
We'll see if there's anything we can do.
I saw there was a sign saying, check the phone. Thank you.
I will ask. Thank you.
The greens and then these areas here, there's going to be some signage, some like little pocket park type things. This, of course, will be continued to be seen in parks. Then as we head west, come across the bridge, ultimately take us down into downtown, and we've got a couple of median strips and that kind of stuff. But that's the general idea. I'm going to turn it over to Joe. He's been working with Edge on a much more consistent basis on this, and we can talk to the finer details of it. We're still working on some things, obviously. It's a work in progress. But it's a little different from what we had looked at before. And we just wanted to kind of talk to you about it, get any input that you might have on it, and then kind of go from there. The bridge design plans, even though it's 2025, we'll be getting stage three plans.
Stage two's coming in May.
Stage two is in May, and those stage two, they consider those, when you're to that point, they consider those about 90% complete. So, that, as far as the project is concerned, there's a lot of details. So, I'll turn it over to Joe.
Thanks, Kevin. So I think as we fly around here, this kind of gives you the good overview of it, and we'll start to kind of march our way through and look at some specific areas. One thing before we get started, just to keep in mind, what you're seeing here in this overall view, not everything gets included with the interchange project, right? We have a couple of main focuses here that we need to look at. Bridge, and really the center median strip of Monroe. Anything else that's above and beyond that is ancillary vision planning, what it would look like if we implemented this. But it's important to look at the entire picture to start with, and then dial back in to make sure what we've got that's going to be included with the interchange project makes sense. That makes sense, okay? So
by that you mean all the green, all the bushes, all the shrubs?
They wouldn't pay for that anyways, it's 100% local. Now, whether we decide to include it in the project, maybe. It's probably possible that that's a standalone separate project. It's a good point, good clarification. Okay, so on sheet two that you had, obviously top right corner is a good decision point, or at least a temperature check to see what kind of path we're on. The bridge in the top right corner obviously is included, right? So the parapets, the end caps, the fencing, lighting over the structure. Those are things that we can help ODOT and assist us with and pay for. So what they've got that looks significantly different than the last time that we saw this was kind of a switch from stone to brick, right? So Edge is obviously working in our downtown area, lots of brick. It makes sense to carry that vision through as your welcoming spot as you come into town. So the pilasters in between the fence are brick. The end caps are brick. The end caps have that new Slovenia logo, embedded in the pilasters. The poles would match our downtown area. We could change flags out as need be, but that kind of gives you the general pick of it. The fencing is important. ODOT has to have some type of, they call it vandal fencing. I know it's prison sounding, but vandal fencing is the term that they use. It doesn't have to be overarching and steel and gray and really ugly looking. We can do some decorative features with that. So really zoomed out and kind of give you the full feel of it, more zoomed in at the bridge. Then the monochromes down below just kind of put some of that into more context. Zoomed in at the Glasgow intersection. So again, this is an opportunity here that we have. So let's talk about that really quick. So the BT site is under redevelopment. We've been looking at opportunities there, how we're going to manage in and out of what goes on there. The consensus moving forward with ODOT was a center median down the middle. Makes sense. Eliminating the left into this facility, crossing three lanes of traffic is difficult. The left out is quite difficult as well. So we have an opportunity here with some type of median approach. It could be flat, curved, could have brick in it. It could be vertical with vegetation in it. What you're seeing here is more of a vegetation look. There's a better image of what that looks like as we move forward. But
no yellow bollards, right?
No yellow bollards.
So, Joe, let me ask you a question, maybe I'm not understanding the document. There, if I recall correctly, there's a entry point on the back side of the Kroger's facility, and I've seen trucks in there, and I'm not talking about like the bread truck that's, relatively modest sized. I'm talking about tractor and trailers. How are they going to get in and get out of there when they don't have, when you've got that center median in there?
That is a service drive for recycling and refuse. So the largest vehicle that they use that operates that is a garbage truck.
Okay.
It takes care of their cardboard compacting equipment. It takes care of their dumpster stuff. Any of this tractor trailer side has to access from the front.
Okay.
Their loading bays are down in the front here. If you've ever watched them, they actually all come across the front of the store, back in, service the facility, and then they go out the room. That's the only way really that the semi tractor trucks can get in.
Okay, so we don't have a problem that way?
We don't have a problem with those guys.
Okay, great.
This is just a right in, right out. You've kind of seen those before. But yeah, so the idea is vertical. That's what's being proposed. So some type of raised curb with trees, trucks, irrigated, you know, colorful entry as we go.
So, sorry to interrupt you again. Somebody that wants to go to whatever the development is where the BP station's at, whatever that looks like in the future. Because I can't imagine somebody's not going to want that piece of property being the entrance, right in front of an entrance to an interstate highway. So how do those individuals who are headed westbound get to whatever that is?
Good question. Well, last guy, we have a U-turn area at that light. So this movement here, if you come out and you need to get back west, you can jump into the left turn lane. And then there's enough room here with a median and three lanes to make a U-turn for passenger vehicles only. Now, if you're a large truck, you're not going to be able to do that, right?
How about going the other way? How about going west?
We've had to work really hard at this the last couple of weeks, but we've been able to get it so that there's enough room to do the same thing in the Kroger lane. So there'll be a U-turn there as well.
Okay.
This one is challenging, but we got it. So it's a while ago, but we got it. Okay, other side, jump over the bridge to the other side. Again, none of this really here is in play with the interchange project, more vision planning. But this gives you the feel for what it looks like. There's a couple of renderings of when you get off the ramp and what it kind of visually looks like. We need to take a look at that, but just again, I just want to give you just a quick snapshot of what that looks like. Again, not much in here that we're really talking about in play for the bridge. Okay, so top view is if you're getting off the expressway, you're coming from 475, you're going to get off of Monroe Street, you're sitting at the new traffic light, and this is kind of the view or the vision of what we're talking about. So if we go back just one, you can kind of see these circular plaza areas. The Burger King River Trail comes in here. This will be a multi-use path that comes up, and we'll have people cross at the intersection here. Then they will use the multi-use path to get back across the bridge. So going back to the other slide, these are kind of plaza areas, one at this corner, one at that corner, that's northeast corner, northwest corner. Some gateway entrance, obviously not included with this project, but again, vision planning for what it would look like to get off the expressway there. Bottom viewport is if I'm standing in the intersection, I'm looking back towards the bridge. So we're on the east side of the interchange, I'm looking back across the bridge. Bridge is in play. This is what that would look like. And again, kind of a closer view of what the plaza areas you get off the
way. So, Joe, Kevin, I think, used the term pocket park.
Sure.
So is that going to have, I mean, it's not rendered there that I can see. Is there going to be seating there? Or maybe I'm...
I think there could be.
We're talking about sizes and that kind of stuff, and you know, it could conceivably be some seating in there. I wouldn't say a lot of seating, a bench or two.
People aren't going to want to sit next to a busy intersection.
Yeah.
Right.
It's probably not going to be a spot. It might be a good location to have some though, because we do get a lot of foot traffic in that direction, and maybe some folks that just want to take a breather.
Good point. So how big are those pocket parks or areas that you were, because it's hard to get a sense.
I would say, you know, my three fingers are about 36 feet, so that's probably a 40-foot plaza, maybe.
So about a 20-foot radius, about a 40-foot diameter. That's a pretty good-sized piece of, on both sides, about the same size.
Right, right.
On both sides, yep. You can kind of see them a little bit better. Obviously, this one you can see from ground level, just some type of, you know, welcoming entrance with trees behind. This one's a little more guarded by the tree that's there, but yeah, for sure, about 40-foot size spaces.
Pennsylvania is long enough that it's got to have a pretty decent radius because it would be more itself to call it up.
Fair enough.
Joe, I'm trying to picture, you know, with that being there, is there an impact to Dave White or what used to be Monette's, I guess?
So Dave White would be right here.
Oh, okay.
So what we've called for is a kind of connecting sidewalk. There's a half sidewalk that's in this section, and then it kind of goes away. We talked about pulling that away. And if you're coming from the river trail and you wanted to get up to the north side, north of Alexis, this would be like a little cut through meandering path to get you back up to the sidewalks there. But if Dave White stays here, you know, really no impacts to him of what we're doing.
Okay.
So is this really more like the scenic park area where that is?
Yeah, exactly.
Corner? Okay.
If you drop yourself in the middle of existing scenic park right here.
So that's how it goes. Okay. And then the other question that I have for you, and maybe this is still coming, is there, I like the bridge. I think that the brick and the caps look great. We had talked about having something on that bridge that communicates with Alanya. Is that still an opportunity?
I think so.
Yeah, there's still an opportunity. What we found is those things are pretty pricey.
Yeah, expensive.
And it takes up a lot of cost for what we would, for what we think is the bang for the buck. At the same time, we're talking, you can see it this year, there in the packet, we don't have anything shown there. We thought that it would be, you know, maybe we take those funds instead and spend on Pennsylvania part of it.
The packet looks beautiful.
Yeah, dress up the entrance a little more than we're working with the township to try to get consistent signage, Sylvania signage, from they're getting ready to, in conjunction with the chamber, to put some signage in out the central avenue exit. And we're working with them to try to keep that consistent. It's, we're trying to change some things here because of this brick and edge just things. That's the way we should go out here.
I like it.
So to that thought process, stuff on the bridge, we own a piece of. The stuff east and west of the bridge, we own all of it economically, the trees and all the plantings and stuff, right?
Exactly.
Do you have a sense at this point, or is it, it depends on what we put in, choose to put in, what that piece of the puzzle is going to be economically? We're talking about $100,000, we're talking about $500,000, we're talking about $1 million. What are we looking at?
Far enough on these to generate costs.
Okay.
The next thing we have comes from Edge. I can, what we had before, that was going to be estimated about $700,000. That would be city required funds above and beyond the three levels.
That's the stuff east and west of the bridge.
That was, well, if you remember the original bridge that we had, we didn't really have too much stuff east and west.
Right.
Was, we had, you know, we had LED lighting with the high lapsers. That was a lot of cost.
Right.
And those things we kind of pulled away from. Joe and I don't think, based on a lot of years between the two of us, we don't think that we're going to have that much money in what this shows. But we're not that far along.
Okay.
Joe, and this Gateway Park, pocket parks, that big gray area in the middle, that's the intersection. Will there be any, lines or to help people?
Yeah. Those are called educator ones for sure. That goes with every project. It's just on a pretty picture like this.
I got it.
Yeah. you're right, though. That's a fair point. That intersection's big. It's very massive.
Yeah,
those
true.
Educator lines are going to be important.
Yeah, okay. I got it. So is Acres Road, that's being eliminated, right? Is that?
Between Alexis and Monroe, correct?
Yeah, that's
right. We have a heavy utility presence there, so we've got to maintain. It's obviously right of way. We're not getting rid of it. So it's ours, but we have a heavy utility presence in there that we need to make sure that we have access to it.
Yeah, because there's an entrance, right, to the businesses there off of Acres currently?
Yes. I don't know that that really shows up.
And that's...
There's one here.
Yeah.
There's one here. Yeah.
So those will, there's no access, so the only access points, so, okay. No, I'm following. No, got it. Thank you.
There's eight access points to the Dave White property. Those would be two that would go up.
So have we talked to Dave White yet?
No, I just wasn't the over 10.
Not on this, yeah. We haven't shown him any of this yet. It's ODOT will be getting in touch with him. Actually, we have to get in touch with them because we need to do a license agreement with them. Some of their facilities are actually in the right of way, and for those to stay, we need to get a license agreement. So, otherwise, ODOT will make the whole problem, so.
But they've known for a long time that stretch of data is going away.
Yeah, it showed in the original drawings, it's, you know, they're aware of it, I don't think they like it very much, but they're aware of it.
No reasonable or rational way to maintain those access points?
From an access management standpoint, it's not as wide as he goes, you try to pull, there's a massive intersection. You know, we want to try to limit the amount of driveways that we have access to that immediately, so, you know, good practices would say, no, we wouldn't want that, we want to pull how people are getting in and out of this thing further away from the big intersection.
Well, this is a dramatic change in the traffic pattern in that area.
Bill, what do you say?
Yeah, I wanted to add that I talked to Joe Mably, the general manager, and to Dave White. Dave's questions were more, and I think both of your questions were more like, where's it stand, we haven't heard anything for a while. I told him about that meeting, scheduled, Joe Kevin will talk about that, that they'll be able to see more of it. Dave's questions were more concerned about the ramp access and how access to get when the bridge is closed, and we're gonna go over all that too and explain to him that it's not gonna be, at any point, it sounded to me that the bridge and the ramps wouldn't be closed at the same time, so there ought to be some way to get to the dealership. But I think from the early on, Kevin said, they knew what the plan was gonna be, they just haven't seen this final form yet.
Okay, on this slide, just a couple more things to hit on, we kind of touched the pocket parks, I won't hit on those too much more, but this gives you a good look at the deck. Gives you lane assignments, you're looking east as you're standing on the deck. Important to point out sidewalks and peds on this new structure. We're not gonna have any pedestrian accommodations on the south side of the bridge. We're trying to limit access points and conflict points with peds and bikes. So we moved everything to the north side of the bridge. So over here will be a 14-foot wide multi-use path for bikes and peds to cross on the north side of the bridge. Okay, that will link to the Savannah River Trail, and that will carry through to Glasgow where it stops. Stops right here. We don't physically have room, we've got apartments, we've got other things in here. The further east you go, there seems to be less of an appetite to carry something larger that way.
Joe, I didn't understand some of your language, perhaps, but it looked in this little drawing here of the Monroe overpass on the side where the pedestrian traffic will move. Is there a protective wall there?
Right, exactly. That's what this is right here. It's kind of hard to tell because she's kind of cut off. You kind of see it.
That's nice.
That's not quite right. There's got to be some type of guardrail there, but it'll be glassed a little bit.
So to get from the river trail to the bridge, you would need to cross Monroe and Alexis, then, on a bike, because there's no... Okay.
It's the best way we can do it, without physically building like a standalone expensive path. But they'll get accommodation, you can actually see it through here, really. Multi-use path from the river trail comes up this way, you're gonna cross the crosswalk, and then continue on. It's the best way we can do it.
And I guess, and I'm sure there's a good reason, but just from my understanding, why the north side instead of the south side for the bridge?
Fewer conflict points. We've got a massive crossing here with cars moving. Yeah. Once you flip over to the other side, you've got the northbound, the southbound ramp that gets off. Again, more conflict points.
Yeah.
If you move them up to the north side, we're down to one in Glasgow. That's it.
Got it.
So fewer conflicts.
Because we're changing how to go north.
Yes.
There, based upon the entrance ramp is going to shift there.
Yep.
So the current entrance ramp, if you're headed west on Monroe Street, right before the bridge, there's an entrance ramp to go north on 23. That's going away, correct?
Oh, no. This is the only way you get on the expressway.
All of those on and off ramps come from the south now.
Correct.
Which is why that north side.
That's why the north side was selected for that.
Okay. And the wall that Mrs. Westfall asked about, how high is that? Is it, we talking about 3 foot, 5 foot?
I'm assuming this one here?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's gotta be, I don't know what standards are for parapets, I'm gonna guess like 36, maybe tall, and then you put another rail on it. So it's fairly tall. I'm thinking the Ridley Diamond in Perrysburg at Levis, you can see the kind of parapet that separates the pets and the vehicles that Levis Commons on that bridge deck, is probably what you're gonna see. I would say something probably this high with railing above the side.
Okay.
Very, very protective.
Well, for walkers, I'm just thinking about somebody who's on a bicycle. Well, technically, are they allowed to be on that path on a bicycle? I think they would be, wouldn't they? You're on an adult-sized bicycle, you're gonna be well above that. If you lose your balance, hit a rock or whatever, you could tumble over pretty easily, I would think.
That's all super federal standard heights.
Okay. I just wanted, I mean, if we're gonna put a path there, people, you know, you build it, people are gonna use it, right? I wanna make sure that we're trying to keep our citizens as safe as possible when we're doing that.
Joe, you said that path would be 14 feet wide?
Over the back, yeah.
Yeah.
Outside the back, it reduces the time.
Okay.
And will that allow walkers and bikers at the same time?
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of like being at the airport, walk on the one side, stand on the other?
Yeah, what ODOT does is on the deck itself, they kind of put cushion off of your vertical faces. So they say that's like the safe zone, so that cuts it down to 12, and that gives you 6 in each direction.
Okay.
So with your vertical faces, and once you get off the deck, you don't have those vertical faces that are constricting you. You can put it down to 10 because there's nothing there. If you go off the path, it's just grass.
Okay.
They make it wider on the bridge.
So theoretically, that's wide enough for a car.
Yeah.
We have snow removal considerations if you've got a factory.
Right, right.
Just real quick, before we go to the last one, I know we're close on time. The deck is being raised, just so that you know that, so the beams are coming off. It's been hit several times when we were with this project before. That wasn't a consideration. ODOT is reconsidered. Beams come off, we actually pick up profile and elevation in there. So everything from here up is fair game. The piers will have to figure out how we can dress those up. We're not quite that far yet, but I do want to mention it.
So the dressing, quote unquote, the piers up, is that on us or is that on them?
We haven't even gotten that far with below the beach. Yeah, we've been spending so much time above the beach.
So in other words, it's on us.
I don't know. It might.
We're talking about state here, right? It's on us.
Okay.
Just as long as I understand what the game is here.
We're adding peers to it, so we'll see.
You guys are great negotiators. I'll defer to you guys. But
Dr. Lovell says we're nice guys when we're with the ODOT people.
Fair enough. Keep going. I'm sorry, Joe.
Well, is that picture? So those peers are, they're shown as white. That it's just concrete right now, right? Okay.
Last slide. Little closer look. Didn't want to point out the end caps. Doesn't have to be a leaf. Could be is what they put in there to kind of tie it together. Just to give you an economy of scale, the mandrel fence has to be 8 foot tall. So you've got, you know, 3 foot of some type of parapet wall with another 8. You're talking about 11 foot. So I mean, it is fairly substantially high. We've gone with a different look. Remember before we had a wavy look, black. This is more
traditional.
I'm not very architectural, I don't know what you call it, but it's got some inlay in it to keep particulates from getting out too. Last thing I want to point out was center median. You don't have to pay attention to that, but this is the Glasgow intersection, and this is the opportunity in front of the BP station. This gives you kind of the bigger look of what it would look like. And more like a zoomed-in look at the intersection. So
Joe, that's cool looking. What's the maintenance on that?
So what we would do is we would irrigate it. We'd obviously sleeve conduits in the middle. We'd have some type of control box off intersection. Getting in there once to do maybe what once a month, maybe do some hand weeding. I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's some of the stuff that we've been talking with. We talked with Edge a little bit about our end parts of forestry. Okay, how are we going to do this? What do you not want in there that we're going to have to be in there weekly, you know, and stuff? So those are the kinds of things we'll be talking through as this gets rolling.
Right, because once you do this, we own this forever.
Yep.
And we're for all intents and purposes, forever.
100%. Okay, so that was all of the slides. I really wanted to make sure I did stuff, just to bookend with a couple things. This temperature check, yes, you know, it'll be light. I don't like this. This is bad ideas. And then two, this all lead up to our public involvement meeting at Northview, Wednesday night, 5:30. These renderings will show up there as long as, along with all the other interchange exhibits, in terms of geometry, detour routes, you know, the whole gamut of what goes into this entire project. This is just a snippet of stuff.
Okay, so what's the process from here to construction?
Sure. You know, let us know, as you've seen kind of the direction that we're heading, let us know just so much you might like, any questions that you have. We get questions all the time about seeing park and the art pieces there and that kind of stuff. We're working through some of those things. We're going to be working with the Arts Commission on some of them. What do we need to exactly do in that area? So, let us know what you like, don't like. We will be putting together the things that are specific to the bridge project. Those are the that's what we've got to get to ODOT on a fairly timely basis, because they need to have that information for that public information meeting. There's a lot of prep work for that. So, the bridge itself and this median section that you're looking at right now. The other items, Joe mentioned, we can either include them with the project. We're leaning towards not including them with the project because ODOT doesn't do pretty. You know, they just do get it up, make it last, and that kind of stuff. So we're kind of leaning towards not doing most of it. Some of it will have to do, obviously. We're making that intersection. It only makes sense to do some of that work while we're there. But, you know, a good portion of the work we're thinking about doing outside of it and being able to not have ODOT, not have to deal with all the ODOT bureaucracy and paperwork and all of that stuff. So,
I have a quick question there then, Kevin. Does that mean that we'll have to go through more street alterations to close while we complete the work then that we're doing?
A lot of this stuff will be done, you know, outside of that street, out of that street footprint, and should be able to be done. I mean, we may not have
minimal, with minimal,
yeah.
Not
yeah, we might have
full impact.
Right.
You know, when the construction project is on, you know, if it is separate, you're just going to see the path in its correct spot with grass, right? You're going to see these things, and then there's another package that would come later that would address it all up. But we would make sure that everything is positioned correctly, so that really it's just a retrofit.
So to Doug's question, though, you're asking for our feedback. The public hearing for general community input is when again?
May 9th.
And then what happens?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I think you owe you some costing information, which we're still working on. I think that's an important piece when we're looking at this, right? So I think we owe you some of that. But, you know, once we've kind of gotten to the stage two level, it's really, like I said, 90% projects complete. The engineers go and fully put together the detailed packages on that, and it's set to go to construction. So,
when will we be at stage two?
Stage two is in May. Stage two is in May. Stage three, you remember the.
It's like 8 months past that. It's like more towards the end of the year.
You go to the eight projects, ODOT projects you got going on?
Right, if they're running in April of
2024. Fair enough. So, a couple follow up questions. Just, I don't know what the other members of council have been asked, but one of the things that I get asked is, are you going to shut down both lanes or not? Last we chatted, but this is a long time ago now, the thought process was, hey, we can potentially keep one lane open each way. It takes three times or four times as long to do the project, or we could shut it down completely and get it done quicker. Now, my thought process as one member of council was, I'd rather take my bitter pill all at once rather than die a slow, agonizing, you know, 18-month conversation is, you know, is that kind of where we're still at, timing-wise and all of that stuff?
The, I don't know if this is part of the public information meeting or not, but it's, those three options will kind of be, well, two of the options, I don't think they're going to show the option of one lane in each direction, because that's such a bad idea that.
Okay.
The other two proposals were to keep two lanes in westbound direction open. Then that was one option, then the other option was to do a full closure. Because of the construction scheduling and the construction seasons that we have in Northwest Ohio, keeping those two lanes open, that's going to be, you know, probably an 18-month timeframe. Just because you lose, you essentially lose much of the planner for a lot of the construction that takes place here. So you're essentially looking at about 18 months, possibly 18 months. Traffic pattern change. Full closure, we're looking at about 5 months. And that's.
So one season versus a year and a half.
Yeah. And that is the way that the project is proceeding. That's how they're handling the design, construction joints, all that good stuff, that's how.
Who makes that decision?
Ultimately, OPEB. Yeah.
Is there a large cost difference between the 18 months and 5 month project?
Yes, because you got, you know, it's just.
More.
They're having to maintain it longer, yeah.
And inflation.
Your construction joints are a lot different, you got more of them, because you start on a section, then you go to another section, and all of that. It's from a construction standpoint, the 5 month closure leaves us with a much better project also.
So, to the point of the bids, we've seen a goodly number of bids over the last few months, many of which came in higher than the engineer's estimate. Recognizing that when we started talking about this project, it was some years ago before we got into the situation we're in now with inflation going on. Just for the record, I think I already know the answer to the question, but just for the record, if the bridge comes in at $2 million more than what we thought a few years ago, and I know we had inflation projections in that from a few years ago, who's on the hook for that? Are we all on the hook on the equal percentages, or is the city taxpayer on the hook?
That is something we haven't addressed with ODOT. This is the good thing for us is that this is an ODOT-led project rather than an OPA-led project. So, but the bad thing for us is they're already putting in quite a bit of money on this thing. So it may be difficult to squeeze some more out of them.
Okay.
You know, I don't know what Director Deacon showed you guys. Yeah, I think everybody's scared of that conversation, so that's
Well, okay, leave it to me to ask the question, Ed. But the reason I'm asking, obviously, is, you know, you guys, you know, put together projections for us on cash flows and how much money we're going to need. Mr. Schroyer works on that, and when we do budgets, all of those things, we're inside that time horizon now. I mean, this is no longer somewhere in the nebulous future. This is not today, but it's the day after tomorrow, right? And that's why I was asking the question from a.
I think Patrick brings up a good point. You know, you got to sell attractive projects, like something that the contractors want to get at. If they're going to maintain traffic one lane in each direction for 18 months, they don't want that, and believe me, they're going to factor it into your cost of the project.
Mm-hmm.
If you're closing this down for 5 months, they can get an incredible amount of work done in one time. They love that. That makes this like a really attractive interchange project. Down at 28, not much fun. Like, they don't want to maintain 475 with that zone for as long as they have. Contractor right now hates it.
We talking about doing night work, Joe?
Here, if we close it, you know, we don't have to. You know, ramp work, here's how I see this construction schedule going. So 25, we'll sell it, you know, maybe March. Or in May, that gives you one half of 25 to get started on some stuff. We're going to do all new ramps. So that settling time, that dirt's got to sit, they have like 3 months settling period. So we can do all offline work on this project in 25 for the remainder of the year. We can start lagging the bridge, we can get piles in, we can do all kinds of great stuff that really aren't impacting traffic. We turn around, we go through the winter, we get to when weather breaks, let's say March, and almost just like the silica project. You know, we get that 4 or 5 month window, we back into it, March, we shut the bridge down, we have it back open before school starts in August. And that's pretty much project completion. So that period between, you know, March and, you know, August and 26, there's an awful lot of work that gets done in a quick amount of time.
So we're talking just daylight hours. Well, the reason I'm asking is, we've got neighbors in houses, if you're gonna start lighting up the bridge, that are gonna be within visual distance. That's why I was asking.
If there's incentive-based stuff that goes with ODOT stuff at times, you know, sometimes it does work in your favor, sometimes it doesn't.
Okay.
It's stuff that ODOT weighs. I don't know, we haven't really talked about incentive-based contracting here to get the work done quicker. You know, we haven't really talked about that just yet.
One more. Was feasibility or considered the roundabout on the east side?
Roundabouts were considered at both ends. From a capacity standpoint, they failed miserably at this location. Door works. Door has about half the traffic we do. They have about 20,000 vehicles a day. They have two lane roundabouts. They can get it to work. We got about 40, 45. They failed at that.
You've not been to New Jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been the first three, possibly four lane roundabout in Northwest Ohio. People get surprised when you put a lot of traffic. You know, it's 40 to 45,000 vehicles a day at that interchange.
They've never been there at closing time when the wellness center lets out them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of traffic.
Okay. Any other questions for Joe or Kevin? Well, thanks for the update. Look forward to the public input. Obviously, plan on being there. I'm sure other members of council will be there as well to hear what the community has to say. And as far as process goes, we'd like to also get kind of a summary from one of you in regards to what we heard, because we're going to hear snippets, but you're going to get cards and comments from wide, broad range of community input. So we'd like to know, here's what other people are kind of telling us. Okay.
Our public involvement process starts, I think, this week. We get our final details all buttoned up of what the mailers look like, what the flyers look like, what the exhibits look like. I meet with them tomorrow. And then you will start to get invites. The public will start to see it. You'll see it on the news. You'll see it all over the place about this public meeting.
We got to post it on the website. I mean, pictures.
Yes.
Yeah. These will be included on the website and communication.
So ODOT, because it's ODOT led, we don't really post anything. We give them all of the exhibits, and they host their own website. If you go to their project page, they'll have all that in the flyer. You can click on it, and it'll look just like a city page, but it'll have all the ODOT stuff.
But we could give them a link from the city's page?
Yes.
Okay, because that's important for people, because they're not going to think to go to the ODOT site. They're going to come to the city's website and say, hey, where's this information I'm supposed to?
And I think that Patrick did a fabulous job of posting out the information about the silica change in a variety of locations. So these young professionals that really know how to do that, post it everywhere you can so that the community knows. That was great. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Appreciate all the work, guys.
You didn't see mine.
And pardon, see the whole.
Moved
and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And we're adjourned at 6:45.